Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I get a roll call of this?
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Darty.
Yeah.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Yeah.
Robert Holthaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richka.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetic.
Here.
Michael T. Fank.
Yes, here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Thank you. Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Act?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First action item is approval of December 1st meeting. Minutes. Can we get a motion, please?
I'll move that.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richka.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang. Councilmember Tiefang. We have lost it. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. First action item, well, Chairman's report is consideration of a resolution, election of vice chair.
Voting to approve the resolution.
Kurt Olsted. Kurt Olsted.
Oh.
You have a second, please?
A second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion?
First, doing a great job. Let's make it unanimous this year. What do you say?
No.
Roll call, please.
Roll call.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richka.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Happy to put in the job this year.
Appreciate the increase in pay.
Next up is consideration of resolution election of treasurer.
Motion to approve.
As Bob Holthaway.
Second. We have a motion and a second and discussion. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richka.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetic.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. As a report, I'd like to report out that effective tomorrow morning, the fiscal impact analysis and the peer review, along with the municipal facts book, will be released online on our website. It is many pages, so we will not be giving out copies. If you'd like a copy, there will be a fee for it. Just notify us, and we will do our best to get it to you as quickly as possible. Any other council members want to report out? Yes, sir. Mr. Richka.
Yes, at the last meeting, I brought up the problem that we have with the state water supply plan that's been sitting on the governor and the commissioner, the DEP commissioner's desk for the last 4 years. I have some good news to report that a bipartisan effort is being made with Senator Bateman and Senator Greenstein leading the, how can I say it, the charge to ask the governor and the DEP commissioner to release this. It's not only important for us as a committee to know this plan, but yesterday the state Supreme Court made a ruling that could affect all the towns and the water supply. They said that the affordable housing quota could be raised by 50,000 to 100,000 units in the next 10 years. And where is that water going to come from that will supply these new units? So I think that's another reason why it needs to be released. And we're going to see what happens with this bipartisan effort. And if Chairman Riley allows this, I will work with Margaret, and we'll come up with a resolution to send to the governor and the DEP, urging them to release this plan.
Thank you. Since you bring up this plan and you talk about the new units of low-income housing, part of the grand bargain that was made by many municipalities when they joined the Highlands Act was this protection from those affordable housing units. That if you signed on with us, COA would protect you from the obligation. Now COA is gone, and the protection is gone, and the advocates for low-income housing don't give a damn about the Highlands restrictions, environmental regulations, or any other of this stuff. All they want is more low-income housing. So what is the town to do that was in the Highlands, in large part protected from COA, and now they're having to go to court to defend their number that was based upon a promise made by this governing entity? And who wins, the environment or housing? You have to comment or offer an opinion on this?
I totally agree with you. You have to take into consideration the environmental impact of 50 to 100,000 new units. And where is the water coming from? Maybe this water supply plan may come out saying that we just don't have enough water in the state. And that should affect the amount of COA to each town. It should affect the town's obligation if it's environmentally not sound to build these units. But as Commissioner Walden just said, that you know they don't take that into consideration, and it should be.
Well, the Supreme Court made that decision yesterday, and it's pretty clear that ruling is going to stand. I don't see any issue that's going to change their decision. So we're kind of stuck with that.
They didn't say where to put it yet. So.
Right. That's correct.
And there's always a way out, and that's through the legislature.
But today, you have to
take up those calls.
I disagree with my illustrious chairman. How does it have the legislature from a Supreme Court decision?
No. The lack of legislation for, I'll use the term COA units, that could be done through legislation, which would take it out of the court's hands.
Well, but that didn't happen.
It's
through the courts. The only environmental issue has been to overturn the Supreme Court decision.
The courts weren't elected by the people.
Right.
Isn't this sort of what got us here with COA? Wasn't COA, the genesis of COA, a community in central or south Jersey, depending on your geography, basically said, we don't want to have affordable housing in our community. And they were taken to court, and the court said, you're okay. Why would they be treated differently than West Milford, Hampton Borough, who would say, we don't want low-income housing, but instead of for whatever reason, not rural use, but for the reason of environmental constraints? Why would the court decide to be differently?
Well, they're not. They proved that yesterday. It's done. The Supreme Court made a decision.
That's it.
Because every time we allow the courts to dictate how things get run within the state of New Jersey, there never seems to be a good outcome.
Look at
it. Well, it still brings to the point of where is the water going to come from if we don't have enough for those 50 to 100,000 units. That's why this water supply plan, which has been adjusted and recommendations have been made by the Water Supply Commission, and they're just not releasing it.
So let's.
It's
let's,
not right.
So let's play this out for a minute or two, not to prolong this meeting any longer than it might go anyway. what happens if the courts say to the towns, you've got to take it? Are we prepared to invite them in court, as a council would say, sorry, but we've got these environmental regulations and this wonderful regional master plan that we've revised, and all of these rules that say, no, we can't go here. Can we go to court as a council and fight the Fair Share Housing folks?
I would say the state should do that. If it is,
well, we are a state agency. We're an autonomous state agency.
Jim, it's within the act.
Towns get together through the league municipalities or whatever vehicle they see fit and decide that they're going to challenge this. And every town come in, go into court, one by one. This will be tied up in courts for years. And it'll never come to fruition. But it has to be a concerted effort through the municipalities to do that.
I agree with you. I think one of the biggest harms to low and moderate income housing has been the advocates for the low and moderate income housing agenda groups, because they keep tying all these things up and people just aren't doing anything because there's no firm number for them to work with. Yes?
Just one small point. They weren't guaranteed or offered to avoid COA. But the opportunity was that the COA would be based on the build-out determined by the Highlands with the Highlands constraints, that's not those crazy numbers that they came up with from the University of Pennsylvania, which
if you're taking a certain area,
using space between the islands as developable, and I mean on highways and all that kind of stuff.
We'll move on from here. The Senate is taking that issue up next week.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll see where it goes. Any other items, Council, report you got? Would you like to report out of? Seeing none, we'll move on with the agenda. The Regional Master Plan update. I guess I'll turn it over to Mr. Alstead.
Thank you. As Chairman Riley has already shared with you, one of the big things that you find today in front of you is the fiscal impact assessment. I'm sure you'll find it to be very good bedtime reading. And it's comprised of the three elements that were already presented to us previously by Steve Gunnels. It is now completed and put into one unit for your review. And be aware, and inside you'll find a tab that has the peer review that was done by the Blaustein School of Planning over Rutgers and their findings that are consistent that it was done in an appropriate professional manner. And you also find, again, as Chairman Riley mentioned, the Highlands Region Factbook as your last tab. The big thing before us tonight is we need to finally consider the proposal to amend the process for amending the regional master plan. There's been a lot of dialogue between the Governor's Authorities Unit and the Attorney General's Office and our staff, and I believe Margaret and our esteemed counsel are going to outline exactly where we are with, and how deliberate the process will be to get it approved.
I know that...
which is also our next resolution up.
Right. The Chairman Riley skipped over my report. I think I can manage to live with my despair. And so,
well, I was going to save it before the next resolution of your authority.
Yeah, I think, you know, let's get to the main event, which is, I think, what everybody is interested in my report later. So... I'm just going to highlight a few key elements of the document that's in front of you before John takes over. This amendment process does not in itself amend the regional master plan, since it doesn't propose any substantive policy changes. It simply lays out the process for substantive amendments should the council choose to make them. Because this is a completely new procedure, we've been in close contact with the Attorney General's office at every stage of the development of this document, which has been a while. Matt has been great. He's weighed in on every iteration, and I want to thank him for his help and his insight on that one. You may know that by reading it that we use the recommendation report as a vehicle to bring forward any proposed amendments to the regional master plan. The MPRR, once the final draft is accepted by the Highlands Council, is essentially going to be your work plan for the next 6 years regarding the regional master plan. The biggest discussions we had as staff in the development of this document was the most effective way to fold the public into the process. I think we've succeeded there, and John will go into how many opportunities the public will have to comment on draft amendments, and they are ample. The resolution, as Kurt mentioned, is to accept this process as a guidance document. Eventually, it's going to have to be formally adopted as an amendment to the regional master plan, but it's still in its infancy. And this status makes it easier for us to change it should we need to, if we find flaws in it as we move forward. So with that little preamble, I'm going to turn it over to John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Executive Director Nordstrom asked me to make a short presentation that summarizes, gives an overview of the document that you have in your package that's entitled Procedure for Considering Proposals to Amend the Highlands Regional Master Plan, and also explain to you the resolution that the RMP Update Committee is asking you to approve tonight. Mr. Piasecki, because I'm not ambidextrous, is going to do this slide, so I'll ask you if you go to the next slide, please. We have, as you all know, we've been working for quite a long time on the monitoring program recommendation report, the MPRR, sometimes called the recommendation report, the fiscal analysis, all in order to comply with the statutory requirement to periodically review and update the regional master plan as necessary. When it's finished, the MPRR will be a work plan for the council's next 6 years. It is likely to include one or more proposals to amend the regional master plan. So what then? How will these proposals be evaluated and acted on? The staff and the RMP Update Committee have given considerable thought to this process. The executive director shared with you at the October meeting a flowchart which gave you a schematic reference for the process. This document that you have before you spells out that process consistent with that spreadsheet and provides more detail. Next slide, please. When I arrived here, staff was in the midst of the monitoring program, and I was asked to begin to think about the process that we would engage in to actually amend the regional master plan from recommendations that might arise out of the recommendation report. The first place I looked, and of course anyone would look, is to the Act and to the regional master plan. The Act itself spells out a detailed procedure for adopting the regional master plan in the first instance. It calls for at least 5 hearings, public hearings, in the Highlands region, 1 in Trenton. It requires the council to consult with stakeholders. It requires the council to develop technical data to support the plan itself. With respect to the requirement in the Act that the council periodically review and revise the plan periodically and at least once every 6 years, all it says is that that will occur, quote, after public hearings, close quote. That's all the guidance we have from the Act. Now, turning to the regional master plan itself, that does not set forth a detailed procedure for amending the plan. It does, however, discuss the 6-year monitoring program, the creation of the recommendations report, the fiscal analysis, but really has nothing on how to actually go about reviewing and adopting proposed amendments. So this document that you have before you is supposed to fill in that blank. Next slide, please. The regional master plan is of some help, however. Even though it does not provide details of the process, one thing is very clear. It intended that all future iterations of the regional master plan would be guided by and arise out of the 6-year monitoring process. It clearly contemplates that proposed amendments will normally be considered as part of that process, and that's that process that we're in the middle of right now. We also recognize that it's possible to consider proposals at other times using the procedures set forth in this document, but the default position is that proposed amendments will be considered as part of the monitoring program and the recommendations report. Next slide, please. So what is the process that we're proposing? It's basically a path to an RMP amendment that involves 2 steps. The first step is to finalize the recommendation report of the MPRR, which will include recommendations or could include recommendations for proposed amendments to the plan. The next step is to evaluate and adopt actual plan amendments based on those recommendations. So let's turn to the first step. This is a flow chart that I just referred to that we shared with council at the October meeting. You can see on the left in green is the first step, which is the recommendations for amendments that will come through the MPRR process and be set forth in the recommendation report. So let's turn to the preparation of a final recommendation report. Next slide, please. Staff, hopefully in not too distant future, will complete a draft MPRR. We expect that this is likely to include one or more proposals to amend the regional master plan. And if it does, it would be submitted, the draft MPRR would be submitted to the Plan Amendment Committee for its review. The Plan Amendment Committee would review the draft and recommend, if it sees fit, that council authorize its release to the public for public comment. The next step would be for the council to vote to authorize the release of the draft for public comment. The third bullet on this slide is very important. When the MPRR goes for public comment, for a period, by the way, of not less than 30 days, it is an opportunity for the public to do two things. First, to comment on the recommendations for any plan amendment that's in the draft MPRR. And secondly, just as importantly, to recommend their own proposals to amend the RMP for inclusion in the final MPRR. Next slide, please. After the public comment period has concluded, staff would send to the RMP Amendment Committee a summary of the comments received, which would include any proposals from members of the public for amendments for inclusion in the final MPRR. They would also provide staff's response to comments document, which all of which would be part of the final MPRR. The committee would then meet, review what has been provided to them, both in terms of the draft and the comments, and then could, if it is satisfied with what they have, recommend to the council that it release the final MPRR to the public. In that case, the council would then vote to release the final report to the public. Once it has done that, you've just set forth and posted for the public a six-year work plan. And that guide, you know, the future deliberations of this council going forward. That's the end of step one. Go to the next slide, please. Step two is to actually structure proposed amendments based on the recommendations in the MPRR. That involves the Amendment Committee reviewing and discussing any proposals that are in the final MPRR and reporting out its recommendation on any proposal to the council. It will fashion an actual RMP amendment with staff's input based on the recommendations in the MPRR. The committee will recommend what action the council should take on any proposed RMP amendment. They could recommend that it take no action. They could recommend that it be studied further. They could recommend it be put on the science and research agenda, or they could recommend that the council adopt it. It's very important here to note that any meeting of the committee at which it will recommend action by the council on a proposed amendment will be open to the public. This is different than our non-quorum committee meetings now. This is important for the purposes of transparency. The public will not be able to participate or make public comments at that meeting, but they will have ample opportunities to do so at other council meetings and public hearings before final adoption that I will outline in a slide in a moment. Okay, next slide, please. So let's assume the committee has recommended that the council conduct public hearings on a proposed one or more proposed amendments. What happens next? The council would take it up and take any of the following actions. No action, refer it back for additional information with staff and the committee, refer it to the science and research agenda for further review, that's a long-term agenda that has a fiscal component because there's an investment that has to be made in it. Or finally, conduct the public hearings required by the Highlands Act prior to adoption of the amendment. Next. Let's assume that the council authorizes staff to conduct the public hearings. What happens next? Staff would hold the required public hearings. Following the hearing, staff would prepare a comment response document for review by the RMP Amendment Committee. The committee would review the comment responses and make a final recommendation to council. Once the council receives that recommendation, if the recommendation is to adopt the amendment, the council would take final action on the amendment. Next slide, please. There really are, as I said, ample opportunities for a public comment on any proposed amendment. The public would have at minimum six, but probably closer to 10 opportunities for public comment. And this chart shows where all those are. The red dots with numbers reflect a public hearing where the public has the right to comment and participate. The first would be when the council voted to release the draft MPRR for public comment. The second would be when the council voted to release a final MPRR. A third would be when council voted to authorize the amendment to go to public hearings. Opportunities 4 through 9 would be the so-called 5+1 hearings, which our intention is to put this through the same level of process that the original plan went through, which is 5 hearings in the Highlands region and 1 hearing in Trenton. And then finally, when the matter came before the council, the public would have a 10th opportunity to comment when the council was voting for final adoption. And by the way, this is in addition to the public hearings that the council has already conducted on the indicators and other aspects of the recommendation report to date. Next slide, please. So what's next? Tonight we're asking the council to approve a resolution to use this draft document as our guidance moving forward to finalize the MPRR and consider other potential RMP amendments. The amendment procedure of this document will be ultimately be adopted by the council as part of the regional master plan with other regional RMP amendments. So therefore, obviously, there's a great number of opportunities for the public and the council to comment on this document before a final adoption. We are not asking you to approve this as a final document. It will be subject to extensive vetting and public comment before it is finally formally adopted as part of the regional master plan. So that, in brief, is the outline, and I'm happy to answer any questions that any members of the council have.
I
just have one quick one, Mr. Chairman. John, in several of your slides, there was a comment there that the council, one of the options would be no action. Could you explain that in some detail?
Well, I
why
think.
Why wouldn't we take an action?
Well, no, I guess it might be a misnomer. I mean, it could be an affirmative vote to not allow the proposal to proceed. It could be failure to, you know, get the necessary votes on council. So it would be if it came to the council with a recommendation to adopt. Obviously, it's a recommendation, so the council could either decide it's not timely to adopt, or they don't agree with the committee, or they're unable to garner the necessary votes to pass the amendment.
One of the things you have to remember is that there's so many inputs for these amendments that some silly ones, some very silly ones, may very well show up. So one of the options is that staff looks at a recommendation that came from somebody. All the recommendations are going to come forward.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to hit this table, all of them. And we're going to look at some of them and say, well, isn't that silly, and move on. And so that's the no action.
Okay.
That's the no action classification.
There may be no action at this time. There may be things that are addressed.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I had a couple questions related to a couple areas. So this RMP Amendment Committee, will this be a new committee? We have an RMD update committee. But would this be a new committee in addition to the update committee? Would the update committee end and a new committee begin?
Actually, I am going to recommend that the RMP committee, provided the members agree, just continue their actions into this and morph into this next stage.
Well, I would just like to say I think we should have some fresh members on there. I would like to volunteer once again to serve on that committee. Since I was here from the beginning of the council, I believe I'm well qualified for that, and I did serve when the RMP was developed, of course, so I would like to request to be on that, and I also think it is a good idea to change up and put new people on the committee so others that are not presently on the update committee may be able to step forward and join that committee.
Thank you. Noted.
The other question just about procedure is that I'm wondering why there's a consideration for making changes at times other than the 6 years that's, that we're required to do. And the reason I ask that is I think it really could kind of, be destabilizing to always be open to amendments as we're moving forward, particularly because, I think there was a lot of thought and wisdom put into the six-year update requirement. It's pretty much a practice that's used across the state for municipalities, for instance. It's a good planning period, and I just wonder about the wisdom of allowing changes to be brought forward or amendments to be brought forward, in between those six-year reviews. And also, if that is going to move forward, then I think we need a little more developed process on that, because I just know from the work that I do for my organization, there is a petition process for the public. So let's say a member of the public wanted to bring forward an amendment out of time, out of the six-year review time. There needs to be some sort of procedure if you're going to be allowing this, because I don't know how you could deny the public the ability to bring it forward and only control, only have us as a council able to initiate amendments out of time. So that's a concern that I have. I don't know if you've thought about it or discussed it on the committee or not.
Well, the update, the review process is 6 years. Amendments sometimes, and we've run into it over the last few years, sometimes there are adjustments that may need to move forward individually. Not willy-nilly, it's isolated, but other things take a larger process. Sorry.
Well, I have a concern about that. I just wanted to go on the record about that.
Thanks.
I don't need to speak back on the phone or anything. I also have a couple other issues. I think it's great. I'm really glad to hear that these meetings, these committee meetings would be open to the public. Is something that I feel very strongly about, and I think it's wrong that all of our committee meetings are not open to the public. I don't think it should only be ones where there's an anticipation of action being taken. I think all of those meetings should be open to the public. Our attorney mentioned transparency. I think if we want to be transparent and open, we need to have all committee meetings of this council open to the public. And when we prepared all of the groundwork for the RMP originally, all the meetings were open. So I think if we want to consider equal transparency that we had back to those times, we really need to allow the public to listen to what's going on. It would also allow members of the council who are not members of those committees to attend meetings. And I think, one of the problems with this procedure, and I know there's others coming down the pipe too, is it's a lot of work, and the committee's working very hard, and the council and the public don't really get these until pretty close to the meeting. So I think if we were all involved at the committee level and can be listening to what's going on, then that would provide more transparency, and people would be more prepared and ready to comment when we have a meeting like today. And then also related to that, When the RMP was originally adopted, there were hearings throughout the Highlands and in Trenton, and also in the area where water drinkers who don't live in the Highlands live. And I think that was really good, and it was very different. It was a different public that came out. There were folks who might not know anything about the Highlands, but know that they care about their water quality and you know, being dependent on the Highlands for their water supply. So, you know, since more than half of the state does get its water from there, I think we should consider being open to hearing what people who drink the water from the Highlands have to say on any amendments that would be brought forward. Also, I don't think 30 days is long enough. I know I've commented in the past on our comment periods. I'm glad it's not 10 days like some of the other things that we put forward, but I think it's more, especially when it's a complex issue like this, which there could be multiple amendments from what I understand, not just one. You know, reading the minutes of the RMP update committee, it was, you know, considered that there could be, you know, a whole host that would go before the council and go through this process. So it could be pretty complicated. And I think a 30-day comment period is really not long enough, particularly when we're dealing with important issues that bring in science and technical issues that maybe a member of the, you know, public or an organization might want to engage an expert to look at, for instance. Very hard to do that. You know, bring in an independent outside expert in a very short period of time, like 30 days. So those are some of the concerns that I have, and I'm hoping that the council will seriously consider changing some of these aspects.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Jim?
Yes.
I'm going to agree with the young lady sitting next to me with regard to the 30 days. I would like to see that 3, 5, or 6 days.
My only comment would be that that's only one aspect of the public comment period. There's also additional hearings, 5 plus 1. So it's an extended process. It's not that if it was the long time just to say something, I might agree with you. But there are multiple, as our attorney pointed out, multiple opportunities to chime in. And that's once we get to that, once we get there. So at this stage, I think 30 is sufficient. I think if we come up, if we see something different, we can amend as we go. But at this point in time, I think 30 is sufficient. Any other comments? So I guess at this point in time, I would ask for a motion on the resolution.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please. We haven't had public on all the resolutions so far. At this point in time, would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm a Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. We're generally in favor of the draft document we have before us tonight. We, as ANJAC, are a statewide organization, and I can tell you from my travels around the state of New Jersey that there is a lot of concern and interest about the future of the Highlands, not just within the Highlands, but in many other parts of the state. First of all, those that get their drinking water from the Highlands, but also in places where people are availing themselves of the outdoor recreational opportunities that are present in the Highlands. So when you're thinking about having a public hearing or public hearings, we would ask you to strongly consider having a public hearing in an area that receives a large amount of its drinking water, at least from the Highlands. Hudson, Essex, Union counties, for example, are heavily supplied. But as you know, the map that accompanies the RMP has some pretty widespread distribution of Highlands water. So at least the folks that are drinking and using and paying for that water should have an opportunity to comment on changes to the RMP. On the other hand, there are people out there who only look at the Highlands from a recreational standpoint, and you need to think about the state impact of what it is we're doing here with the RMP, and hope that we'll see some hearings, not just in Trenton, but in other locations outside the Highlands region. I was also struck by the five numbered items under public participation, where the requirements for making a change are laid out. When I first saw that, I said, well, that will certainly trim down the frivolous comments. On the other hand, I think you're asking commenters to do something that's maybe, as we used to say in the military, beyond their pay and grade. You're asking for example, a consistency determination for the Highlands Act from a commenter. I think you may want to open that up a little more and make that less restrictive so that you get a true read on the public's desires at the hearings. You always have the power to say no. But it would be a shame to let a good idea just disappear because somebody couldn't write a legal opinion about the consistency of their suggestion with the Highlands Act.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Wilma Fry. I'm Senior Policy Manager for New Jersey Conservation Foundation. The first thing I'll say, well, I guess if the procedures are being approved like in draft, and they can be changed after you approve them, that's fine. Otherwise, I think that basically having released them only 2 days ago to the public, that is not a public participatory kind of a move. And I just think that it's, releasing the documents that are this important to the public like 2 days in advance, and I remember 2 months ago or 3 months ago the same thing happened 1 day in advance. I mean, that does not get you the broadest public participation. So I would caution against doing that again. I would like to say that the document says that it's going to have ample opportunity for public comments, and that it wants to be consistent with the Highland Act and ensures robust public participation. I think that Mr. Pfeiffer's comments about having hearings outside of the Highlands region is extremely important, that there are many people out there who are concerned about their water supply and they don't live in the Highlands or they recreate there and they aren't, so they need to have a voice and not just have hearings in the Highlands or in Trenton. So I think right now that this document is inadequate regarding public participation. The next point is that the draft procedure proposes that after the RMP Amendment Committee review and recommendation and the Council's approval, the draft recommendations report will be published on the Highlands Council website and open for comments for a period of 30 days. Again, 30 days is not conducive to robust public participation. The recommendation report is likely to be of some length and complexity. It will deserve careful and reasoned consideration and discussion by the public. The council, quote, will accept written comments and so forth, but any proposed changes must be accompanied by not only the text of the proposed amendment, but also a summary of how the amendment is consistent with the Highlands Act and other applicable law and data supporting the suggested amendment. These are laudable objectives. But the public is not going to be able to do this in 30 days. I mean, I happen to have time to spend several hours at least reviewing this. But the public, the documents that come out here, that's not the only thing the public has to do. And I really think that these public comment periods, including the final one, absolutely need to be 60 days. 30 days, you can't even have a conversation, hardly, with the people that you want to talk with about this, much less fully understand it, and then write your sort of public conclusions.
Thank you for your comments.
So I am really, when the whole thing is reviewed, the RMP amendments, there really needs to be 60-day comment period. 30 days is not adequate.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. George Stafford, Highlands Coalition, Borough of Wharton. Took you guys, 2 years to put this together, and you're going to give people 30 days to look it over and see if they can make a decent comment? That's just a consideration. As far as having meetings outside the Highlands, I've been going around for the last 4 years, pitching a resolution of support for the Highlands, and I'd like to give you some sites where you might hold these meetings outside the Highlands based on the people who have the municipalities, and counties, and environmental commissions who have passed our resolution, and they might serve as hosts for you to have this outside. So I'll start with the Essex County Freeholders, the Essex County Environmental Commission, Belleville, Bloomfield, Caldwell, Fairfield, Maplewood, Littleburn, Short Hills, Montclair, North Caldwell, Nutley, Irvington, North Carteret, Cranberry Environmental Commission, Cranberry would do it, Dunellen, Milltown, Metuchen, South Brunswick, Woodbridge. I used to be in the radio business and I had better wind than, South Plainfield, Edison, South River, Montgomery, Middlesex Township, Alpine, Bergen County Freeholder Board, Cliffside Park, Carlstadt, Closter. I always get that wrong, I apologize. Elmwood Park, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Garfield, Glen Ridge, Harrington Park, Leonia, Montvale, Wallington, New Milford, Woodridge, Paramus, Fort Lee, Clifton, Hillsdale, Dumont, Northvale, Demarest, the Union County Freeholder Board, Cranford, Garwood, Hillside, Plainfield, Rahway, Union, Elizabeth, Springfield, Kenilwood, Fanwood, Kenilworth, Fanwood, Summit Environmental Commission would be a host, Scotch Plains, East Hanover, Florin Park, Madison, Lincoln Park, and I think I got Fanwood in there, Hudson County Freeholders, East Newark, Kearneys, Secaucus, West New York, Jersey City, North Bergen, Harrison, Bayonne, Jersey City Environmental Commission, Passaic Board of Freeholders, Clifton, Haledon, North Haledon, Pompton Lakes, Totowa, Wayne, Woodland Park, Manville, North Plainfield, Watchung, Franklin, Reddington, Raritan, Princeton, Lawrenceville, Ewing, Mercer County Board of Freeholders, the City of Trenton, Burlington City, and Winfield Township. I don't know if anybody knows where Winfield Township is. It's down by Cranford. Any of those places would be happy to have the public come and comment on the proposals. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
I think George just made a forceful argument for consolidating municipalities in New Jersey. I didn't realize the list was that long. I just had two items I wanted to address. I'm Bill Kibler from Raritan Headwaters. My watershed is home to Round Valley, which is the largest reservoir in the state of New Jersey, and Spruce Run, which is the third largest reservoir in the state of New Jersey, as I'm sure you've all known. Those two reservoirs provide drinking water to 1.5 million people, according to the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. None of those folks live in my watershed, and none of them live in the Highlands. Those two reservoirs are providing drinking water to a population, if I got my math right, almost twice the size of the population of the Highlands. I live in the Highlands, so Highlands water is important to me because that's what I'm drinking. It's also important to those 1.5 million people who don't live in the Highlands, and whose families rely on that. It's also their businesses that rely on that water. They've got a vested interest in clean water coming from the Highlands. And let me tell you from personal experience, if there's one thing, if there's one environmental issue that New Jersey residents take very seriously, it's their clean drinking water. You absolutely need to hold at least one of these hearings outside of the Highlands. You can ask George for a list of available municipalities. I understand he's got some of those. The other thing is a 30-day public comment period is flatly inadequate. I want you to take a look at that binder you received today. The vice chairman there has a copy of the regional master plan. If you haven't looked at it recently, to expect the public to go through those documents and give you any kind of meaningful feedback on those and the MPRR in 30 days is simply unrealistic. You need at least a 60-day minimum public comment period. And, Mr. Chairman, I see no reason, your counselor can weigh in on this certainly, but I see no reason why that 60-day period couldn't run concurrently or at least overlap with the public hearing process. There's no reason that I'm aware of that one has to be done separate from the other. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Julia Summers from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It's unfortunate that today's notice, the notice for what we're discussing was really so short, because what we're discussing is very important. It's a terrible way to begin this process when we're talking about giving people adequate notice. Also, I'm very confused. We are talking about a six-year monitoring process, but the six-year monitoring process began, I think, about 3 years ago. So we haven't got 6 years of monitoring under our belts yet. So I would love at some point some explanation about what began when. I also believe that we should be giving them people, the 6.2 million people, that's minus 6.2 million minus about 800,000. Everybody else lives outside the Highlands, and they all depend on the Highlands for some or all of their water. It's simply wrong not to give them an adequate opportunity to comment on something that is so important to them. So I strongly encourage you to do that. For a couple of reasons in particular, we are in a drought. We are going to continue to be in a drought. This time next year, we may be in a really, really, really serious drought. All of those people care about this. And we have responsibility for taking care of their water supply. You have responsibility for taking care of their water supply. And it's important that they be included in this process. On top of which, I would like to remind you that you want them to pay money to landowners in the Highlands. If you're not going to include them in this process, why the hell should they give a damn? You know, you need to make them part of this process and include them and take their opinions seriously. Also, I do understand, we really appreciate the possibility of being invited to at least listen to the committee meetings, but we would like to be included in all of the RMP update committee meetings, not just one where maybe a decision will be made. We need to be part of the consideration that you are giving to anything that may be decided and then recommended to the Highlands Council. Also, several times you talk about a science and research agenda. I'm just delighted that you have a science and research agenda, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what it is. I would love an explanation. So those are, in a nutshell, my comments right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't see you before. Oh, wait.
Yes, my name is George Casa. I own a fly tackle shop in Califon. I have a question that's probably mostly one of nomenclature, but I would like to see if it could be clarified. With respect to the term RMP update, there is already a procedure and forms online for a certain type, apparently, and a procedure for certain requests that might ultimately end up as changes to the RMP. And I think this goes to somewhat to the question Ms. Carluccio raised earlier. What happens if somebody comes in who is not raising an issue that is brought up or a proposal that's brought up as a result of the monitoring report, but instead is coming from some other public source? As I say, apparently there is already a process in place for that called RMP Updates Summary of Findings. What is the difference between an RMP update and an RMP amendment? I guess that's the best way to put the question.
Is this something you want to answer now, or should we just have a contact
I think it's, I think it's a short answer. In the original master plan, RMP updates are factual adjustments to maps. Okay, an amendment would be, a change in the actual language of the regional master plan. It is confusing, and I understand, where your question arose from, but the update process will stay in place because that is map adjustments, and we will go forward with an amendment process, which will have a name that everybody can understand.
Thank you.
If you need anything more, contact the office.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eric Keller. I'm an engineer with Bowman Consulting. I'm here today on behalf of the New Jersey Builders Association. The builders have been involved in this process since day one. While we're not looking to make this process any longer than it already has been, there is a concern that this process is going to further delay it, that there's going to be continued uncertainty about what can be done, what will be done in the Highlands. There's a lot of environmental regulations that property owners, developers, landowners already face within the Highlands region, and there's a concern that this process is going to extend that. I will agree that a 30-day comment period for a document such as this is inadequate and should be longer. Again, not that we're trying to make it longer, but it is a lot of information to be processed and to evaluate, especially with this process, this procedure that is being considered tonight of having this five-step document that needs to be put together for amendment. I know, Mr. Chairman, you and some of the other board members have said that there's a number of times that the public will have an opportunity to make comments and to discuss and to present information. And maybe it's just, reading this quickly because we only had 2 days, and it is what it is. That's what we do all day with our work. But on page 4 of the process, it states that testimony offered during public hearings will be limited to the proposed amendments. Now, those proposed amendments are ones that have made it past that first step. So if you put forth an amendment and it doesn't get to that next step, this says, or at least the way we read it, is that you can't talk about it anymore. So that doesn't seem like an open, robust public participation process, and that I understand you don't want to hear frivolous things, but there may be valid things, at least valid from our point of view, that don't get through that process. I may have my notes in many places. I think that's all. I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very much. Anybody else in the public? You heard. Yes, sir.
I'm Hank Klump. I'm a farmer in the Highlands in the preservation area. This whole RPM thing, I go back, I got to try to get my memory going, but we sat in this room here, and Corey and the people from the RPM, landowners was there. We had one meeting, I think it was probably maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, and we wrote all the suggestions down up there on that blackboard up there. I have not seen one of those suggestions in any of this. What happened? When they erased the board, that's where the comments went, to me. I have not seen one other thing. One of the other things that bothers me a little bit, but the council has a lot of money to spend, and this RPM, actually, it's a war on words with a lot of smoke and mirrors. Also, it had to be the most expensive, pin the tail on the donkey charade that I ever seen in my life at these away meetings or whatever you want to call them, public outreach or whatever. A lot of people here are telling us landowners everything that we should be doing with our land. Now, one of them owns land in the Highlands or sacrificing anything. It's been over 12 years, haven't seen a penny. Other than the work that Bob Woolen and the judge over here has been working on, there's been nothing coming around. 12 years, that's a long time. In this whole RPM thing, and I questioned the fellow that was here that presented it, I've never seen a raw value land. Never. I've seen it on real estate, job locations, all that stuff. But not one piece of evidence on raw land. And that's what us farmers have. Not one thing. And the excuse that I, or he suggested is, well, they can't get that from the town. Well, my tax assessor takes my house out of my farmland, and he assesses me on my farmland and my house separate. So somebody can do it. So I don't think it's just kind of a whitewash on this whole gamut thing going this way. But I don't know. Maybe I'm biting off the wrong tail here or something, but people, us farmers need your help. And for more stuff, that thing up there should be Highlands Landowners Meeting.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
My name is David Schoeth, and I'm an unwilling stakeholder. My land was put in the preservation zone by a bunch of clowns down in Trenton who didn't know what they were doing. So I'm a stakeholder, but an unwilling one. And I would like the Highlands Council to define the word stakeholder. I would like to know exactly what it means. Because lots of people come up here, they say they're stakeholders, and I want to see their stake. I can show you mine. And do the, quote, stakeholders who have a special responsibility and duty to those who have affected, those affected by the acts, special restraints on their lives. I'm talking about me and Hank and others who have had their lives turned upside down by this act. And we have a whole bunch of, quote, stakeholders running their mouths and doing nothing more. Do they have a special obligation to Hank and I as stakeholders, as fellow stakeholders, I might add? And I've asked repeatedly for the North Jersey Water Supply District Water Supply report that really kicked this thing off, where they say if they didn't have the Highlands, it would cost $30.3 billion additionally in water treatment costs over the next 50 years. Perhaps some of you have this report under your desk. I don't know. I've never seen it. I want to see it. It started this act off, and you won't find it because it's a fraud. It's a fraud. As is the assumption on on the effect of nitrates as a function of the land lot size. The Scientific Advisory Board, as directed by the courts, has come up with a report as a result of the Farm Bureau's lawsuit, which you should get a hold of. You talk about science here. You have science as part of your agenda. Get a hold of the Scientific Advisory Board's report and see what it says about nitrates, the big bugaboo. You should be able to get it. I got it. The New Jersey Water Supply Authority right now is undergoing a rate review, an annual rate review. And I've never seen any of these people that call themselves environmentalists and members of environmental organizations paid, I might add, at any of these meetings. You may want to see what they're doing. One of the things they are doing is they are keeping the land purchase function of their water rates flat, as they have done for several years now. They have increased tremendously their contribution to the New Jersey Infrastructure Trust so that the rotten pipes down in the cities can be repaired at all the rate.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments.
We'll catch you later.
Thank you. I'm sure we will. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close it. Any further council comments?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to propose an amendment changing the 30-day review period.
What's that mean?
Pardon? There's a motion on the floor already. Did you have something you want to say, Mr. Rose?
I'm not familiar with any restrictions on who may attend our public meetings. Is anybody else familiar? Is there any criteria that you have to be a resident of the Highlands region or a resident of the state of New Jersey? Are they open to public? Period. So anybody can attend these meetings.
That's right. If I read the PowerPoint correctly, it is not less than 30 days, which means that if we choose to keep comment open beyond 30 days for some reason, if we get enough, if enough of the groups that want to weigh in on this, contact us and wish to extend that. It's up to discretion. I'm assuming this council is telling the chairman and staff to extend beyond the 30 days. So it's not a cap. It's a floor, not a ceiling.
But what I'd like to do, Rob, is make sure that we do give the public enough time. It is, some of the things in there are a little bit onerous for 30 days. And, I'm proposing an amendment to change it from 30 to 60 days.
Well, I have a motion on the floor for the 30 days. I will keep it in consideration of amending it as to Mr. Walton's comments. But any other comments?
No, I don't understand that. I mean, we're going to vote without the extension from 30 to 60 days?
Is that correct? There's a motion and a second on the floor.
We have.
This is
the appropriate time.
The motion. Who wants the motion and second made by this?
Member Haldaway and Member Francis second.
So if Mr. Haldaway will accept the amendment his motion, we can
vote. I think it's a two-step kind
of thing. No, it's not. If he accepts
the motion on the floor,
he would have to amend his motion.
If he accepts the amendment, we can move forward.
Yes, if the person who made the motion and the second agreed to the amendment, then that could come up for consideration and discussion. Further discussion, I should say.
Well, there's reasons why we picked the times we did. There's multiple periods in there for public comment. As you notice, there's like 10 spots. And the 30 days is when it first comes out of the MPRR. Well, after it goes through the MPRR, it has to come here, go through process for every single amendment. There's going to be discussion on the floor of every single amendment. It's going to take months and months to get done. We then have to go out for public hearings. That's going to take time to process. And then finally it comes to fruition. The concern that I have, probably a major concern, is that if this is not done this year, very few of us are going to be here this time next year.
And you just hit the nail on the head.
And we are. They will have to start all over. They have to start the whole process all over again. And the cost to the taxpayers in the state of New Jersey is horrendous. I choose not to amend the. I choose not to amend the my motion. And for those reasons.
I don't need to confer unless you want to withdraw your motion altogether. So there is a motion and a second on the table. Any other comments in reference to the motion that's on the table?
One quick question. We put out there the first draft of these
NPRR.
And there's something in there that folks think it's going to take 60 days to comment on. They missed that first 30. When's the next opportunity to comment? How many more days after that thing came out would it be?
Well, you have, it's going to take us, you know, in talking with staff and everything, we're talking at 40 to 50 amendments is the guess that we have.
Okay.
We're not going to handle that in one council meeting.
So it's likely that the commentary de facto will actually be 60, 90, 120?
It could be bifurcated and move into.
It's a rolling 30 days. So these things come around time and time again. And the amount of time it's going to be here and the amount of time it's going to be here.
Mr. Richco, Chair? Mr. Richco?
That's it. Comments from the public, there were basically three things that they brought up, you know, changing it from 30 to 60 days, and also about having meetings, the public meetings, in more than just Trent and maybe five here. And I agree with that. I think it should be in different areas of the areas that people get their water from the Highlands. So I don't know if we need to put that in or just discuss that in the future, setting up meetings other than here.
I'd have to look into what exactly the requirements are within the Act. I know it's 5 + 1, but if they're here by city...
Well, it does, probably doesn't say that it has to be here.
It's various locations.
Okay, various locations in Alaska. And also they brought up about having the meetings open. And, you know, I don't understand at this point why we can't have the rest of the RMP meetings open to the public, because they can't participate. They're going to sit and listen. We're talking about transparency. Let's go ahead and do it. It's not going to harm anything. It's going to help the situation with people wanting to know what's going on.
I understand the point, and I understand everybody wants to know. But when you're in a working environment where these things are new, you know, you don't want to be embarrassing the members of that committee with the questions they have to ask in order to get up to speed because of the impression that would be left with the public. And there's confusion, and there's underlying discussion, and we have some pretty heated discussions amongst ourselves that if the public were there would be inhibited, and then you would have silence on the part of the members, and you would not have a basis for pulling together comments that then go before the public and they get to hear. And you know, this is a logistics thing and a personnel thing.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm going to keep my comments brief, just for the record. 2 days clearly is not enough time.
The fact that this board is going to vote on something that the public has seen in 2 days is a disgrace. It's not transparent. No governing body in the state of New Jersey, no council would sit there and allow anybody to bring anything in front of your governing body with 2 days' notice. I've been doing this for a long time, not on this board, but in politics. You don't ever bring in front of the board something for 2 days that the public has to digest of this magnitude. The second thing is, although my colleague to the right makes the point of, you know, you can stretch this out 60, not 30, 60, 90. However, the way this is, staff can get rid of all those what they deem to be frivolous. Yes, we can override that, but how often do we override staff? So although you're saying it can stretch out, staff can eliminate so many the way this is, like that, and that 30 days will come and go like that. So let's not kid ourselves. 2 days is clearly. Now, I'm not saying I don't support it. I'm just saying 2 days is clearly not enough for public. It's not transparent. This should not be voted on. This should be tabled until people have time to digest whether you like it or not. 2 days is just clearly not enough. And any council member that votes this on a 2-day notice shouldn't be on this commission. It's just not enough time. And you talk about being replaced that when the new regime comes in down in Trenton. These are the things they're going to look at. Well, how transparent were they with the public? 2 days, listen, I'm going to vote one way or another, up or down. And I respect that. That's the way it works. But I think that staff has the opportunity and the willingness to remove things they believe are frivolous. They may not agree, and we have the right to override that, but we tend not to do that. 2 days is not enough notice. And in any appeals process in the governing bodies in this state, it's 45 days. Boards pass resolutions all the time. They have 45 days to file an appeal. I mean, I'm fine with the 60 days, but if you think that because there's these five steps that it's going to stretch out to 90 days, that's not necessarily true, or 6 months, because staff has the power to remove anything they feel that is frivolous. And we don't have a track record of overriding staff. So that's it.
Any other comments?
One.
Yes, sir.
How are you going to know what they found frivolous? If it's not before us, you're not even going to know.
Everything comes up. Every single one is going to come up.
Yeah, they have to show us what they
mean. No, I still agree with you.
2 days is not enough.
In all fairness, Tim, I think we've reviewed this, if I'm not mistaken, this is at least the third meeting that we've reviewed this proposed process. So this is not something that's new. This is not something that's just been out for 2 days.
That's not correct.
The public's not coming out here. They've seen this before. 2 days.
And again, look back at the minutes. This thing has been out for months, multiple meetings, number one, number two. We're adopting it only as a guidance. It's not even finalized until we go through the hearing process. So all this becomes is a guidance document so that we have some sort of process.
So what's the harm waiting?
What are we waiting for? You know, in the real world, it's a 30-day world. I just finished this huge audit for the U.S. Department of Labor. I get these massive audit requests dropped on me out of the sky, and no matter what's going on in your life, it's 30 days. If you don't get it there, you get a massive fine. So this notion that you can't do things in 30 days is a bunch of baloney.
To put it out, Chairman, I'd like to
talk to you. Mr. Alston has the floor.
I'm so respectful of you, but allow me to finish, Tracy.
We're a public agency.
That's my point. Hold ourselves accountable the way the rest of the world is held accountable. You know, there is no mercy in the private sector if you don't do things within the specified time the government tells you have to do things. And if we make this a 45-day process, guaranteed, you'll get the same responses at day 45 you would have gotten on day 30. If you make it a 60-day process, you'll get the same response on day 60 that you would have gotten on day 30. It'll just get kicked down the road until the due date. 30 days is plenty of time. The private enterprise world operates in 30 days. 30 days is plenty of time.
Mayor.
Plenty of time.
Mayor, you want to follow?
No, we're not private enterprise, but I respect your opinion.
Mr. Alston is referring to a public regulatory agency giving him a 30-day time limit. 2 points. I would love to know, Mayor, what does I adore you, your friend? What day does your agenda get posted for your meetings? How many days before the actual meeting takes place? Number two, as a local elected official, as many of us here have been, when you have a public hearing on an ordinance, what is the timeline between the introduction of that ordinance and the passing of that ordinance? It's not 45 days, it's 2 meetings. You have to introduce it, you have to skip a meeting, and do it. Usually that's a month.
And then it's 45 days after that for somebody to file
to
an appeal.
To fix it.
So now we're actually adding more than 60 days.
That's for an appeal. That's not for the public hearing. So we're talking about the public hearing portion. So actually, our 30 days is in line with the way that all of us regulators operate at our own local governing bodies.
The whole idea for the length of the time for the appeals, and lawyers can disagree and be due up, whatever, is because most people don't have legal backgrounds, and it takes time to get research, it gets time to ask questions, it gets time to go hire an attorney. That's the reason why the process is longer. It's not, I understand what you're saying, but that's not the reason why it's stretched out. It's stretched out so a regular working person
has to work.
That's right. Doesn't have the time that some of us have, but they also don't have the knowledge and the background, okay? And they have to hire people and talk to experts and see if this is something they want to fight. I mean, it's...
And this process...
Listen, I don't want to compare private, and I get what you're saying. Things are going to be fast-paced as it is coming up with the world is changing. If it's one thing that we need to at least my opinion, and it's only my opinion, that transparency is the one thing that boards, state commissions, planning boards, zoning boards, councils, you name it, have to have transparency. They just have to, and it just seems to be...
I think the issues that have been...
Well, you know what? Take a vote.
The issues that are being debated, I think council members have drawn their conclusion, so unless there's something else anybody else would like to bring up, I'll call for a vote.
Cool.
Question. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
No.
Councilmember Dressler?
No.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
No.
Councilmember Richko?
No.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin?
Yes.
Councilmember Wong?
I make the eighth vote. Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Passes 9-5.
All right, that takes us to our next order of business. Before we do that, I'll do the executive director's report.
Somewhat at this stage anticlimactic. I just had a few items I wanted to highlight for you from my report. Plan performance implementation in Oakland Borough. Their master plan Highlands Element was deemed consistent by the Highlands Council. Staff in Kinnelon Borough, they passed their planning area petition ordinance, and it was deemed consistent also. Next month, it looks like we're going to have a Highlands redevelopment area designation application. There's a little blurb on it in my report. It's from Bloomsbury Borough and Hunterdon County. This is one of the reasons we reviewed the redevelopment guidelines with you in December, because we were pretty sure that this is coming up, and it is. So I just alert you to that in case you want to look at the redevelopment guidelines again, and you know, call us with any questions you might have on that. And on the outreach and constituent assistance, the number of calls we got for 2016 was 261, which is one less than last year, but certainly within the range that we normally have. So I think that goes to show it's still an important service that we have to the public. And that concludes my report.
Brings us to our next resolution, consideration of resolution, authority for planning performance and Highlands Project Review. This is just the extension of the authority granted to our executive director.
Motion to approve. Resolution.
Second. Second. We have a motion in the second. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please raise your hand. I'm sorry, this is the one that we normally grant to extend certain duties towards to the executive director. Anybody like to make a comment on it? Yes, sir.
So we're on the same page. My name's Chuck Irvin, Tewksbury. Just so that I'm on the same page with you, I just want to make sure this is the one that gives her the authority to review municipal and county plan conformance and provide recommendations. Well, it goes back to the same thing we've been talking about all day. Basically, the public should have an option to know what she's reviewing, when, and be able to see these documents so that they may comment on it, so that they have input into the meeting process. And without a list of what she's reviewing, what municipality, when it is, and an ongoing notification to the public, that's what's wrong with this committee. Can be fixed by these comments. Make it transparent. Thank you.
Thank you. Did anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please raise your hand.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Is this the authority for plan conformance and Highlands Project Review?
The delegation of authority to the executive director, as we have for the last three executive
programs. I don't see it on my agenda.
It's under business. Under other business.
Beg your pardon?
It's under other business.
And the bottom of the page.
I see it. Okay.
You are looking at the right thing, Mr. Schultz.
I'm looking at...
You're looking at the right thing.
It's at the bottom.
You read the title.
Yes.
What happened to this thing that was a draft?
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else wish? Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please raise your hand. Seeing none. Any council discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say that I am going to vote against this again. I know we put it off last time because we didn't have. I think the chairman felt we did not have the votes to approve it. I don't agree with number five under the therefore be it further resolved. I think that the council members need to be involved in the approval of government unit approvals and also development applications. And I think this is one area where some review has fallen between the cracks that the council should have been involved with. And brought it up last time. I was particularly concerned about an application in for Exxon that had moved ahead. And yes, if we went every day on online and tried to follow what was going on, perhaps we would all know what is going on. But I think that this council has a responsibility to make sure that we don't allow companies to come into the Highlands that are responsible for some of the largest pollution events in the history of New Jersey. And I think this was a huge oversight. It should have been brought to the council's attention, and not just by going online when we get our meeting packet. So I think that really we need to reconsider, and I know I've asked for this all along, so it's not something we're likely to do, but I think we need to reconsider the council's involvement and the consideration of development applications and their consistency with what we're trying to achieve here.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tifang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Resolution passes. That takes us to our last order of business.
Fred, can I come in and talk to you about the process for the open space applications? And
yes,
I think we have some folks here looking for answers about the open space agency purchase program timetable. The timetable is as follows. This will also be an update for members of our subcommittee. Bank board meeting will be moved to April because we wish to have a meeting of the subcommittee to look at the open space applications and the remaining credit applications. Staff is still reviewing all the open space applications to make sure they're thorough and can score them and rank them as per our matrix. And once we have that, we will then meet as a council, as a subcommittee, to look at how we wish to recommend to the full council how the rest of the money is allocated, whether it's for all open space, credit purchasing, or some combination of the two. And then once we do that, we'll begin to actually approve the purchases and continue writing checks, either for open space or removal credits. So that's the timetable. Next, we need to schedule a subcommittee meeting next month before our next council meeting, where we hopefully bring the council recommendation about how to allocate those funds. It'll probably be the March council meeting, where we will begin to approve some checks, and the April bank board meeting to approve some checks for credits.
Thank you. At this point in time, we'll move to the public portion. Would anybody wish to speak on any issue, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes.
I'm the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It was interesting to me that you raised the issue of the COA decision yesterday, the Supreme Court's decision about COA, because the courts have been really forcing settlements with between towns and fair share housing. There are over 90 that have so far been approved, including 11 in the Highlands, including your town, Mr. Bowden.
including your town, Mr. Vizioli, and including your town, Mr. Walton. And there are nearly another 40 to go, although I don't believe there's a Highlands Towns, but I'm surprised that you aren't more familiar with what's been going on. Second thing I wanted to talk about is in 2008, Executive Order 114 was adopted, which directed the Council and COA to, quote, enter into a joint memorandum of understanding to assist COA in developing third-round growth projections within the Highlands region. Executive Order 114 remains in effect unless it is expressly withdrawn by the current executive. Although COA is no longer a functional state agency implementing the Fair Housing Act, the MOU remains in place to guide the New Jersey Superior Court in its role of implementing the Fair Housing Act. The guidance provided to the court is extremely important because it provides the guidance of the goals, policies, and objectives of the Highlands Regional Master Plan with their legal weight, as intended by the Highlands Act, in determining the region's capacity for growth and development, one that is balanced with natural resource protection and thus the long-term sustainability of the region and the long-term sustainability of New Jersey's valuable water supply, all the things that we have talked about earlier this evening, but it was not the public's opportunity to talk about it. In 2011, the MOU between the Highlands Council and COA was challenged in the appellate division by the Fair Share Housing Center, primarily on the grounds that Executive Order 114, the Regional Master Plan, and the MOU were each adopted without following the legal processes set forth in the Administrative Procedures Act. The court subsequently ruled in affirmation of the validity of the Highlands RMP, Executive Order 114, and the MOU. We understand that there is a discussion about withdrawing the MOU between the Highlands Council and COA. We could not more strongly urge you to reconsider such an action unless it is replaced with an agreement providing equal weight to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, and the agreement is made with an entity authorized to implement the Fair Housing Act, in this case, the New Jersey Superior Court. Otherwise, the court will no longer have a mechanism to consider the Highlands Act's goal of capacity-based growth when certifying the Fair Share Housing Plans for conforming municipalities in the Highlands region.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
I just have a question for Mr. Walton. Did any money, I may have misunderstood you. Did any additional monies become available since the last meeting?
Well, the last meeting we were told that we got the federal grant, so that freed up an extra $2 million for us to spend on either credits or open space. So we have to match that grant with our money. So right now it's having about $9 million. We now have $11 million. And the question that will be coming before the subcommittee and the full council is where to spend that money. Buying credits or buying open space, and that's the $64,000 question, perhaps $16,000 question. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or multiple $16,000 questions. The list we saw on the board, where I didn't make the hit list. The ones south of that hit list, are they going to be considered? Is that
all applications are being considered? Yes. And my goal, Rob Walton, would like to see that threshold for credits go down to they're all bought. I'd rather buy credits than buy open space. I'm one vote of 14.
Is that this council or is that?
This council will make that decision. This council will make a policy decision after hearing the recommendation of the committee to determine how much of that $11 million goes to credits and how much goes to open space.
The credits came about in 04. So those of us who've been walking around with a handout for 12 years, they're going to be considered to be considered?
Correct. Yes.
And the new additions who want to sell, who want you to buy their open space, get added to that race?
Correct.
So I imagine the committee is going to vote for fairness and pay the people they've owed for 12 years. First, thank you very much.
Excuse me, sir. What was your name for the record?
Tom Wagner. Still is.
My name is Sean Gilson with the Highlands Coalition. I'd just like to take this opportunity to pass out George's resolution he was speaking up for the names of all the towns. I'm sure you didn't get them all that he was wrestling on.
Can I go around?
No, just leave them with it.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Sir.
What's this public one now? Is this the end of the meeting?
This is the last one. Anything you want.
You go.
Anything you want for this long.
Yeah, it's all confused here.
My name is David Shope, and I'm going to cover some ground I missed earlier, and that is on your the draft thing that just... procedure for consideration of proposals to amend the Highland Regional Master Plan, that draft thing. I have a couple questions on it. One, on executive summary, you're talking about ongoing monitoring of identified indicators. Apparently you've identified some indicators. I'd like to know what they are. You should list them. You've identified them by your own word. And if you've ranked them in terms of importance, I'd like that ranking as well. So that's something I would like you to provide me. I've also, and then when you go on to standards governing the review of the RMP, some time ago I submitted to you basically nothing more than USDA data, not my data, their data, as a result of the five-year annual census of agriculture. And I would like to know what's going to happen to this data when, in consideration of, quote, applicable law, policy science, economics, and relevant consideration. Well, this goes right to the economics of farming. If farming is considered a business, it should be subject to the business analysis, which is return on investment, et cetera, et cetera. So when you get to this part, you want to consider the economics of farming, consider it as you would any other business when it comes to the calculations as to its viability. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Yes, sir. Your name for the record, please.
I'll put my glasses on so I can read it. Like Tom says, it's the same. All right. You know, it's a shame that you got to be around so long just to remember things, but I remember distinctly Ellen Swan and Tom Borden coming to our township meeting. Matter of fact, we had it in the all-purpose room in the Turnpike School. And she and Tom were both touting that if the town went in, you didn't have to worry about your obligation to fair housing. I questioned her at that time, and the example she gave me was, well, if your town goes in, say, COLA wants you to have 100 houses, if you go in, you only need 50. So now she's long gone. Was she political? No, she was a member of this staff, and she was out telling the people this. And it's ironic. I mean that you take everything that you hear for granted and being the truth, but apparently that was not so, because look where we are today. You got a superior judge or whatever it is telling you got to take all this. Regardless, there's no lapse in time, nothing. So my question is, in our regional master plan, how does this fit back in? Because if the town has to accept all these houses, where's it going to put them?
He's going to put them in the preservation area. He's going to put them in the planning area. Where? I think that should be a subject that this committee or township or whatever, council or whatever you guys want to call it. But you got to find a place to put all these. Am I making sense?
Within the sense of that, what the Act allows us to do, yes.
Okay. Now, so what Alan Swan told the township, our town, was an untruth then. Do you understand what I'm saying? So who has the liability for this? The council?
Supreme Court.
Well, they're the ones that decided. Right. But your stand is just like us farmers. We got stuck. We own the land, right? Bang! You're out of business. You lost your equity. You can't be in business without equity. Simple as that. I'll stop now. But come on, guys.
Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Yeah.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
What do you think?